RMEI developed a proprietary instructional design format called the Clinical Convergence, which centers patients as faculty members. This speaks directly to the trend in recent years to create more patient-centric and personalized medicine approaches reflected in healthcare education. In two successive editorials in 2015 and 2016, Gray McMahon urged the community to recognize patients as part of the care team, and RMEI has meaningfully done that. However, simply having done that doesn't really address whether or not it worked. So the RMEI team undertook a large-scale study across disease states to evaluate the relative efficacy of this clinical convergence format of education, which centers a patient as a faculty member, versus other didactic case-based programs, which feature a hypothetical patient, which is the most commonly used form of patient representation currently in online education. The findings from that study were very clear. In comparable programs, which were launched in the same year, in the same disease state, with the same clinical area of focus, with the same learning objectives and target population, clinical convergence programs were more effective at improving competency, clinical decision-making, than non-clinical convergence program. When we broke that finding down to evaluate across disease states represented in the study, if there was any difference, we found that that difference was most profound in IBD. This poster takes a deeper look at the IBD clinical convergence program, which was reflected in that larger clinical convergence versus non-clinical convergence study. This program was a joint program sponsored by RMEI and the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, which featured dual tracks in a series of half-day regional meetings. There was a provider track, which targeted gastroenterologists and primary care providers who actively manage patients with IBD, but there was also a concurrent patient and caregiver track, which was aimed specifically for individuals who have an active diagnosis of IBD and those people in a non-professional setting involved in their care. Data, both objective and subjective, was collected for both groups, who were able to have a convergence session at the end of the day where both the providers and the patients were brought together for an opportunity for extra clinical conversation, where both sides of this essential integral relationship could be investigated further in a safe and academic setting. With regards to this particular program, there were learning objectives. Learning objectives are simply thematic areas in which we can aggregate learner data. We had learning objectives for the healthcare professionals, as well as lecture topics or areas of focus for the patients and caregivers. These represent the objective metrics where learners are responding to questions that are measured in a binary 0 to 100% regarding knowledge or fact-based information, competency or procedural clinical decision-making information. To complement these objective metrics, we also had subjective metrics. These subjective metrics include confidence or empowerment, as well as practice strategy or intent to perform and change. Confidence rates how confident individual is in their ability to engage in a specific behavior. Practice strategy or intent to change evaluates how often the learner indicates that they are intending on engaging in a specific behavior. These metrics were evaluated prior to the program and following the program. So that way we can evaluate the efficacy and impact of this particular program on these learners objectively and subjectively. The learning objectives for the healthcare professionals focused on the differentiation between current, novel, and future IBD therapies, with a focus on their efficacy and safety data, devising individual and adaptable treatment plans for patients to maximize remission, avoid relapse, and minimize toxicity, assessing disease progression, utilizing drug monitoring strategies to optimize treatment of patients with IBD, and employing strong collaborative approach to managing patients, focusing on education, engagement, and shared decision-making. For patients and caregivers, we focused on personalized treatment in IBD and what that means, monitoring yourself for your best treatment outcomes, and how your healthcare provider makes their treatment recommendations. The goal was to not only provide important education to professionals, but also emphasize the collaborative nature of the patient and provider relationship, which is the hallmark of any truly successful treatment approach. The population included in this study is over 900 providers. 92% of those were physicians. More than 500 of them identified as gastroenterology specialists. 102 patients and caregivers participated in the live meetings. We were interested specifically in learners who are actively engaged with IBD patients. So we asked them, how many IBD patients per week do you see? And when we evaluated this data, we found that the learners involved in this educational program encounter an average of 5,639 IBD patients weekly, which extrapolates out to almost 300,000 IBD patient interactions per year. We can be comfortable in the conclusions drawn that this finding, this data, has a meaningful impact on the outcomes of care for IBD patients based on those numbers. When we evaluated clinician performance on our learning domains, that is the knowledge, competence, confidence, and practice strategy, improvements from pretest were measured in all areas. The most notable improvements were measured in competency. When we broke that down and compared the live program and the Enduring Online program to each other, we found that the improvement was greater, slightly, but greater still, in the live than in the Enduring. This finding suggests that the peer-to-peer interaction may have contributed to improved integration of information. These findings unsurprisingly were reflected at the curriculum level when we evaluated the change in learning objectives. The greatest improvement was on the learning objective that focused on the development of individualized and adaptable treatment plans for patients with IBD. Here, we again saw substantial improvements from relatively low averages at pretest. Again, in the live setting, the improvements were more notable than the Enduring. When we evaluated patient and caregiver data, we found that across all four categories of measurement, knowledge, confidence, intent to change, and the wellness index, which combines both opinion and attitude data with objective strategies for engaging clinicians, improvements were measured across the board. The findings of this poster are quite clear. When clinicians and patients are provided opportunities to come together for the purposes of meaningfully sharing information outside of a clinical setting, the impact is substantial for both groups of learner. Specifically, this is a format which not only is successful in a live context, it is also incredibly impactful in an enduring context. This educational initiative represented an opportunity for clinicians and patients to come together for the purposes of improving overall provider and patient outcomes in an extraclinical setting. The positioning of Real Patients as faculty members highlighted the importance of the clinician-patient collaboration, which represents a departure from the previous standard of paternalistic engagement. Further, this population of highly skilled clinicians was open and engaged in the process of truly evolving their thinking and practice to incorporate a greater degree of patient involvement in treatment planning and care management. These findings represent the first steps toward a truly collaborative approach to care, which extends beyond the office visit. Most notably, clinicians were able to assimilate procedural and practice-based information more effectively when patients were included than when patients were not included across both live and enduring conditions. This observed benefit was not exclusive to clinicians. Participants were also more able and empowered to engage meaningfully in their care. Though this study across therapeutic areas remains ongoing, even these preliminary findings suggest that the way forward in IME is through the utilization of the patient voice.